flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We are live at the Atlanta United Training Grounds. Brad Guzan's going to join us coming up here in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned for that. They have a friendly against Chattanooga coming up this weekend, and before you know it, the season will be underway. We are awaiting to see how this team's going to look and change between now and then, Mike. Again, the DPs, the designated players for those people who are fringe fans of soccer and certainly MLS. These are the guys you pay the big money to, Mike, and these are the guys that you count on to score goals for you. And we are going to, at least in my opinion, I think upgrade in this area and have better designated players. Obviously, you've got some great young players on this squad, so the manager's going to stop by as well. First time that we'll get a chance to talk to him. We're looking forward to talking with Ronnie Dyla coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Hey, if you're just joining us, a couple of things going on. One, some things around the NFL before we get into some college conversation. One of them is this is interesting, and I think only because it just shows you sometimes coaches go, I'm going to relinquish play calling duties,
right,
and then they realize it was a mistake. Kevin Stefanski is going to resume play calling duties next season for the Browns.
Is he going to have a job?
That's a good question.
Yes, they haven't fired him.
Good question.
This dude, the poor guy, I mean, he thought he was getting things cooking with Deshaun Watson. Needless to say, that's been an unmitigated disaster. He's able to get Joe Flacco taken over into the playoffs this year. Jameis, it's funny, Jameis is like Fitzpatrick. He'll pop for a few games and then you got to get back to the, you know, Jameis hits his equilibrium, which is generally pretty mediocre. But good for Stefan. I mean, you know, maybe Haslam's learned his lesson. You got to have some degree of stability. It starts with the coach. You like what he's been doing, making lemonade out of lemons, and they still got a pretty good team because all those guys they drafted all those years, for the most part, are still there.
Still there. So
feel bad for Nick Chubb, though, coming off another injury.
Oh, bro, I do too, and he's such a good dude. So that's just interesting because, again, who's the quarterback? Like, yeah, I get it. Stefanski's going to call, but who's the quarterback? Who's the guy?
How would you like to have Kirk Cousins for $10 million?
Well, let's hope.
Mitigate our cap hit. No, I mean, you could argue. You and I had that discussion yesterday for guys who missed it because maybe some people were working. Maybe you didn't get a chance, you know, if you're home listening to us on the radio. There's really no way we can get Kirk Cousins off the books. Everyone just assumes, well, Kirk will be happy to be a backup and earn that money. Yeah. Most folks feel we're going to have a post-June 1st designation, get him off the books, unless a team somehow came to us who maybe didn't find what they were looking for in free agency, which begins, you know, later next month into March. And then, of course, the draft. But the idea, Carl, that maybe could you get somebody to take a piece of that money so you don't have to eat the entire dead money hit and give you some space. I don't think you're going to be getting much in the way of a draft pick or anything.
I don't either.
There's some Falcon fans who think, no, guys, teams can just wait for us to just cut him, you know? And so that's also an alternative. But the idea you were bringing up is maybe the Browns, as they figure out their long-term plan, of maybe they don't like someone they can't get to. Maybe they don't like Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. Maybe they do. Maybe the Giants, somebody moves up. Maybe he'd be our plan B for somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. The odds are there like a freaking 1,000 to 1. That's the team.
But that's the team. That's one of the teams.
They're picking second.
May have a shot if they are not completely sold at taking a quarterback, one or two, or at number two. Hey, the Bears also are not going to retain offensive coordinator and interim head coach Thomas Brown.
Shocking.
Yeah, Mike, because remember when he took over for Eberflus, everybody's like, oh, he's talking honesty to the guys. He speaks to these men.
You're fired.
Hey, Exactly. Get out of the building.
Well, like every, just as we said, you know, guys wanted Ryan Nielsen to stick around last year. A guy comes in, bring in their guys. Unfortunately, Jimmy Lake wasn't up to the task. He got. But that's, you know, as Carl said yesterday, it's guys work with people they know, and there's no way you're going to have a holdover. New coach is coming in. It's his staff. It's his offense. He's bringing his guys. You and I were asking earlier, what is the brain drain going to be for Detroit between Aaron Glenn going to the Jets and certainly losing their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson going to Chi-Town. This is where, if you're Dan Campbell, you hope you can restock that. And again, is anybody else going to get the most out of Goff?
I don't know. It's a great question. Their general manager, Brad Holmes, who's really good, came out today and said, we're not concerned of getting the most out of Jared Goff. Jared Goff will continue to be a high quality, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't expect him to say anything else. This is a big decision. This is a big deal. And we'll see, because it could throw off the Lions' track as far as this is a 3-year window. They're young. They're young in a lot of spots. They got a lot of good players. But, like, okay, if you don't win it in the next 3 years,
right,
and you get the wrong coordinators in there and that throws you off a year, like, that's how you have to think about this. But I'm with you. I want to see where they go with this. And maybe they just stay in-house and try to stay the course with what they were doing. And Mark Andrews puts out a statement, guys, real quick, basically apologizing and saying that he's devastated more than anybody and he's sorry for his coaches and Ravens fans, but he will not let this define him. It's the first time he's spoken since dropping that 2-point conversion. Obviously had the fumble as well in that game. He says, I promise that this adversity will only make me stronger and fuel me as we move forward. I thank everyone who's shown me support over the past several days. Despite the negativity, I've seen a heartfelt of love and encouragement, including that from those of my teammates and others around, you know, various places, the country, etc. And he says, even when the moment seems darkest, sounds like you, Mike, perspective can reveal that there's still a lot of light in this world. And I'm going to do my part to bounce back and contribute to it.
Well, you know, it's just, you don't want to be Ray Finkel, man. You know, you don't want to be that guy that's from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. That's the guy that misses the kick, laces out Dan. You know, you just don't want to be that guy that you just tagged. But look, let's be honest. We as a city, now, we won a championship with Atlanta United, and Georgia's won two natties, but the Falcons, what do you think? You ask somebody right now in, you know, Dubuque, Iowa, or out in California, Falcons, they lose everything, man. They choke us because we blew that Super Bowl.
We did.
4 minutes and 40 seconds away from changing the entire perception of the city in some case. But we don't feel that way, but outside, people look at it that way.
Yeah.
It just, but now, Mark Andrews, man, you pray that he gets there, but that's why I was invoking Peyton Manning and how long it's going to take Lamar Jackson to get to the mountaintop.
We will see. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We need to talk some dogs. So one area in which Kirby is going to be a little thin, and maybe he feels better about this than we do, is that outside linebacker room, Mike. They lost Damon Wilson to Missouri, okay? So all of a sudden, Gabe Harris is almost certainly going to spend more time as an outside linebacker, pulling him away from the defensive line. And then you start talking about, all right, what do they have coming in with these freshmen? They have some top-ranked freshmen, all three ranked in the top 100 prospects.
Right. Are they ready to go?
But are they ready to play?
Right.
And that's the question. So here's the thing. A strength of this team, and we just talked about this an hour or so ago, and I was talking about, you know, if we stay at 15, and we're assuming we are, if Jalen Walker's there, that is the name I want to hear the Falcons take. It better, well, number one, be a defensive player. Number two, a defensive player that can have impact and has versatility. With that said, that room is being, diminished by not only transfers, the portal, guys right, going to the pros, but that was a strength. My point is, this has been a strength of Georgia. When you start talking about their outside linebacking room and putting guys in the pros, etc. So now you go into spring, and I guarantee you we're going to hear Kirby talk about this, where I'm not sure if these guys are ready. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's what. We're telling you they have some talented kids coming in. But I don't know if they're ready, Mike, to step up and play this SEC schedule.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we said about the Falcons this year. Maybe that's going to be Georgia next year. The offense better score a ton of points because your defense is not going to be that lights out that it was for the back-to-back natties. Well, we know on the offensive side, you got some studs coming in. Zachariah Branch, Noah Thomas, you're bringing in size and athleticism. And guys can actually catch the football at wide receiver. You know, you're going to have Nate Frazier back. Oscar Delp is coming back.
Yep.
So you and I, did you learn anything about Gunnar Stockton in that game and a half?
Toughness. I mean, he's tough, but as far as what kind of quarterback he's going to be ultimately, no, I didn't. because I don't think they asked him to do anything out of the depth of what they wanted him to do.
Right. And the only time they did it was ill-advised, trying to do a two-minute drill after Notre Dame's been in your backfield. And that, of course, led to that fumble, which, of course, changed the game. Eventually turned into be, like, what, a 17-point turnaround.
I go back, Mike, to Stetson Bennett, you know, when he was playing. We didn't learn about what kind of guy he was and what kind of quarterback he was until Georgia was down, until he had to make some comebacks, make some throws, put the team on his back. And that was prior to the national championship against Alabama. But once we saw that as Georgia fans, and Mike and I had this discussion all season long, do you believe in him? What's going on? How good is he? So I don't know if I could say that yet for Gunnar Stockton, but he's going to get his chance.
Now, I don't know, and a couple of guys just hit us up on the text line. What about the portal? Yeah, there's one more portal.
There is.
So I don't know. Some guys will already be in maybe some early signees somewhere in the world go, isn't that what I signed up for? They skedaddle to Georgia. I don't think you can bank on that for all the things Carl's just talked about on defense. But as Carl mentioned, those three highly touted linebackers, big article in the Dog Nation that our buddy Connor Riley wrote. Yeah, but that's why maybe you hope your offense is the bell cow.
Well,
they got a good corner. Secondary is good next year.
Yes, it is. But experience, you know, trumps everything. It's why Kirby always talks about, like, the group that came back to win back-to-back national championships was loaded and they were experienced. When you start talking about this daunting schedule, and again, it is easier, if you want to say that, than it was last year, because I think just the first year of the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma and having to go there and play on the road to Alabama, blah, blah, blah. It's still going to be tough, Mike. And so this is an area of strength since Kirby's been there, that he's had dudes at this position.
Right.
And so I want to see what they do at the outside linebacker position.
And the other thing this year, if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, get the checkbook out, Joe, because everybody's still talking about Ohio State. We mentioned it. Look, they got guys to stick around.
How much money does Georgia have to spend?
Well, that's the thing. That's not really the issue. The big thing Ohio State did, they convinced guys to stay.
They did.
Michigan, same thing. Guys hung around. They got guys. Remember, they were this close to running Harbaugh out of town, and then they run it back. And they keep being Ohio State, but they have to keep their upperclassmen. That's going to be the concern. It's funny, all that money, it's so great to see Oregon. You got Oregon fans. You've had Phil Knight as Daddy Warbucks for decades.
Forever.
And, oh, my God, Ohio State came in and stick it up your – you know, you beat them at home, and, of course, they just ran you out of the Rose Bowl. But that seems to be the one thing everybody continues. It's just, to me, sour grapes and grumble. As you said, NIL, now it's legal. Well, they played the system. So do likewise. Recruit better, get them to stick. You know, and everyone's going to be, remember that whole thing about the Lamborghinis? Lamborghinis, everybody in Texas is driving a friggin' Lamborghini.
Has been. I don't want to be the bearer of
bad news.
Just
it. Well,
that was going on in the 90s, right. But y'all didn't know about it.
I was going to say, but that picture, you know, we joked around. Who's it? Who's our buddy from CBS we were hanging out with?
Brian Jones.
Yeah, Brian B. We were joking around with him at the Army-Navy game. That shot, and if you didn't see it, it's literally the strength and conditioning building outside of in Austin, what it would be like the Butts Mirror building in Athens. And it's literally, there's a dozen Lambos, SUVs, you know, you name it, lined up, and that's all the players.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing sells that.
We got itself. We got a couple of car dealership owners, man, and you know, they like to contribute.
Right. So I'm glad Gunnar Stockton is driving around a 30-year-old F-150, but I hope he throws for 40 touchdowns this year.
Hey, Texas and Georgia are going to be great next year. And by the way, Texas comes to Athens. It's going to be a great game.
All right.
It's going to be a great game.
But get that defense ready, Joe.
It's going to be good. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk to Brad Guzan. Is he in the middle? Where's he at? Is he here?
Brad's on the way.
All right.
I forgot the beer. Carl forgot his PIN number today at the store. Forgot to grab the six-pack for Brad.
So embarrassing.
I know. And he likes our beer. He likes our hate.
Yes, for the people who were behind me, I'm sorry, by the way. I did hold up the line. I'm not going to lie. Because I didn't care. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to remember my pin.
All of a sudden, this is like a Hallmark movie. You're going to be played by Morgan Freeman.
Suddenly, I couldn't remember my pin number.
Coming up, Brad Guzan next. Dukes and Bell, we're live out here at Atlanta United's training grounds. We just got word Brad's been pushed back about 15 minutes.
There goes Brooks Lennon.
What's up, Brooks?
Hey, man. We love you, brother.
Good to
man.
See you, man. Good to see you, bro.
I just asked him, we like the new manager. He goes, oh, yeah. And we're going to talk to Ronnie Dyler. Thanks, brother. Hey, man.
We're going to talk to Brad here in about 15 minutes. He was supposed to join us, and they came over, and was he just getting some food? What was Brooks?
Yeah, doing? I was going to say, it was funny. I was hoping we'd come in for, like, we're doing an early edition of Guy Talk. I'm like, you are listening live as Brooks Lennon eats a salad. You know, so, but again, from what I've read, and again, we'll talk to Brad about it, and maybe Jason Longshore will pop in, is the style that I think fans want to see is more of a pressing style. And for those guys who don't follow soccer, Brooks basically would be like a right wing in hockey, or if you want to consider Carl, like if basketball, he'd be like a point guard on the right side, kind of bringing the ball up, you know, trying to center the ball in, getting the ball up to the guys, and hopefully getting the net. And Brooks, I think, is going to be a good fit for this style under Ronnie Dyla. But we'll talk to the new manager coming up later.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. And he brings a plethora of experience as well. So we'll grab Brad here coming up in about 15 minutes, as we said. Hey, there's some other stuff that is going on. We've been talking about Falcon Reports on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, in the 6, we're going to talk to Sean Merriman about the AFC-NFC Championship games, Mike, and get his thoughts as he'll stop by. And again, I don't know who you like. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I've been thinking about this all week, and it's just so hard, like with the Patriots, for me to say the Chiefs are at home are going to blow this. Like, it's and I'm not telling you they're going to blow the Bills out.
Right.
It's going to be a good game, competitive game, but I just have an issue saying at the end of this game, if you told me Patrick Mahomes needed a score, that he's not going to go get it. So we'll get into it, man. But I like them, and then I'm giving the Commanders a really good shot to pull the upset here.
We were talking about this earlier in the in 4th and 1. The perception, and Patrick Mahomes trying to, like, you know, he was kind of passive aggressively. Well, I just, you know, we play the game and plays are made, and I don't know what the refs are doing. The numbers, the ESPN analytics guys went down and did a deep dive. They went back 6 years, as long as Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have been going deep in the playoffs. It's an amazing number. And then there were subsequent analytics guys who took a look at those numbers and backed it up. The Chiefs have had 36 penalties in the playoffs called on them since 2021. Their opponents, 66. That amounts to 319 penalty yards for the Chiefs since 21. Their opponents, 541. More penalties, the opposing team to the Chiefs, 10 times since 2021. More penalty yards, only one time did the Chiefs in their 11 playoff appearances have more penalty yards. It's been 10 times their opponents have had more penalty yards. So a lot of people are saying they're either the most disciplined football team in the freaking world, which they're not, or there's just because then you look at their numbers over the course of the season and you extrapolate what their penalties are and how they come down in the postseason. People are saying the NFL's got an optics issue because that's screaming at you that the Chiefs are getting preferential treatment subconsciously or just perhaps the luck of the draw, how the refs saw it. Either way, it doesn't wash.
Last year, they had the most drops of anybody in the NFL, okay, and they still won the Super Bowl. You have to be able to overcome these warts that pop up throughout the course of a season. And the crazy thing about, you know, 2 years ago when they won it, because they're going for an unprecedented three-peat, guys. Nobody's ever done it. Is that Mahomes is playing with all these young wide receivers, and everybody's like, oh, these guys are too young. He's not going to be able to win. And they did. Every year they've been able to overcome something, and now it's become this penalty thing, which, Mike, the evidence is blatant. Like, that those metrics you can't deny that, wow. But I'm with you. They're not the most disciplined football team. They make mistakes. The problem is they're so damn good, and their quarterback is so damn good that they were able to overcome this stuff.
But when you hear those numbers, and I went back, this is what backs up the argument. In 12 out of 17 games, the Chiefs were flagged more than their opponents, going back over the course of last year's regular season. Then you get in the playoffs, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
No flags.
All of a sudden, now it flips, and now it's basically 3-1 the other way? That doesn't make a lot of sense, and that's why a lot of folks feel that. Yeah, and look, I don't, not for one minute do I feel the fix is in. It just seems that way because the NFL doesn't really ask for accountability with the refs. They just don't. You know, they always, it's like, oh, well, we've got more, there's more referee official teams or crews than there's actually games each weekend. I'm like, okay, let's put more guys out to pasture. Let's upgrade.
It just seems
like, you know, working as an NFL ref is like almost getting you're the shop steward at the post office. Like, you never get fired. So that's just something I've always, like, and you know me, I just felt, guys, but what do you want them to do? I would like the NFL to take the billions of dollars, which they have, and invest it directly into, call it the officiating academy. Bring guys up from college. Take guys that you feel are doing a good job at any level.
Yeah.
Nurture it. And they're watching film 24/7. You give them a salary. So, no, a guy who just called the game that had, I don't know, $100 million bet on it doesn't go back to being an insurance salesman or a school principal. You realize these guys are part-timers? It just seems like it's crazy. So one guy, as I said, a guy goes, well, what would a full-time ref do? That's what I'm telling you they do. Nothing but breaking down film. Hell, I don't care if you send them out to work Pop Warner games. Make them the best. They have a set. There's an accountability with FIFA, and guys complain about FIFA refs too all the time, but they have something in place over there. That's what drives me nuts, because we have the money and the resources to do it.
They do. And Mike, here's the thing. You know, the NFL, just like with, for example, if they wanted to put grass stadiums in every stadium,
they could do it.
They could do it, right? They don't want to.
Too much money.
There's many things that you could say, hey, the league is capable of doing. This is one of them. And it only rears its ugly head when you have these controversial calls in the playoffs or things play out like they did last week where, again, you felt like, many of you, Mahomes is getting calls and that the Chiefs got, you know, the spread was affected by calls that were made in this game. It bothers you. And so I'm with you on the academy part of it. I don't believe, like, you can be the best official that you can be, right? If you're going to be the best trial lawyer, you got to be in trial. You got to be in court. You got to be defending people. You've got to be doing the job, Mike. And my point is, like, this is, to your point, it's a great part-time job. And don't get me wrong. The officials, the top-level officials guys in the NFL make a lot of money doing this on a Sunday. But the other side of it is, what if there was a singular focus on just doing this?
That's what I'm saying. I'm just, especially now that we've crossed over into the embracing of gambling legal, where it's legal in America.
But that's the bigger problem.
That's a problem.
That's the bigger
problem. They got an option. We just gave you the numbers. The Chiefs are defying the laws of averages based on their penalties per game when they get in the playoffs. Yeah. So one more nugget on the NFL, and this is hysterical. I can't find what interview or what format this occurred, but Jaden Daniels' mom was talking to somebody, and it went public, and everybody's talking about it. We're going to see him in the NFC Championship against the Eagles. We're all pulling for Jaden Daniels. I love this kid. His mom says, quote, some girl's got a Jaden Daniels wall. You'll get him. Someone's trying to hook him, but thank God he's got a mama like me, because it ain't happening.
She's not letting anybody in. She ain't letting nobody in, man. She's like, no, sir.
I love that. Now, this is unlike Eli Apple, who lived with his mom back in the day, which kind of drew some eyebrow raising. This one is just kind of funny. No girl's getting in there because she has got a filter. She's apparently at LSU, that mama was always aware of who was on Jaden's radar. And it was like, no way. Uh-uh. You're out. So Jaden's got, better than having an agent, is having a mama who's not going to let some gold digger get in there. But how does he find true love if mama's not going to let anybody get through the mom filter?
Well, he'll find a way. Just like you did, just like I did. Listen, some of us had very demanding moms. My mom was very demanding in that way, too. She cared about who her kids dated and who was coming to the house and, you know, all that stuff. And even to the point, like, my mom, like, I remember my sisters brought a dude to the house one time. He came in, met my mom. My mom left, like, walked out of the room, and my sisters were like, what's wrong? And my mom was like, he ain't it. He's got to go. And literally forced my sisters to, like, well, we can't go on this date. I get it. I totally understand what Jaden Daniels' mom is doing. She's protecting his best interest, and some people will say that's overbearing. But I have to tell you this. 9 times out of 10 on these people that my mom was like, he ain't the one, she was right.
She's right. They got
she
the
was right.
And again, for a guy at this stage of his career, just his young career in the NFL just getting underway, it's great to know mom's got your back, man. I love it. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at Atlanta United's training facility. We're going to talk to our man Brad Guzan, also our new skipper, team manager, man. Looking forward to talking to Ronnie Dyla. That'll be coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, some guy talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, ale. Now, you and I have talked about all the time, whenever like the lottery gets up over like $500 million or getting $250 million, we always joke around, like, what would you do? And I know what I would do, like a lot of our guys in our audience and ladies, I would be adding to my car collection. Now, you know, I would be going crazy. I'm a huge fan. This is the big one. It started this weekend. It continues through Sunday. It's on FYI Network. They also stream it live. Talking about Barrett Jackson, the Barrett Jackson auction. There's some unbelievable cars this year coming through. The usual stuff, classic Ferraris and, you know, all your favorite muscle cars. But this year, pretty neat. They have a car that went for over $100,000. It was about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. It's back on the market. It is the Family Truckster from Family Vacation.
Really?
A modified Ford. It's like that big, giant green station wagon with the wood paneling, the double-decker headlights that Chevy Chase drove, of course, cross-country to Wally World. It's up for grabs again this year at Barrett Jackson.
I love it.
The Ghostmobile, the Ghostbusters converted hearse ambulance thing, the ambulance, is up for grabs this year.
I would take take both of those, Mike?
There was a couple of cars. They were the replicas. They're not the actual. Of course, the actual cars obviously go for, you know, even more than $100,000.
Sure.
But I saw, I was watching over the weekend. They had a couple of cars that were. They were tributes, because they call them the tribute cars, to the car that Jackie Gleason drove, the Sheriff Buford T. Justice and Smokey and the Bandit. There was a Starsky and Hutch. Anyway, go to Barrett Jackson this weekend. Some of these, by the way, are still online, and you can actually register, because I've told Carl a million times, if I ever won the lottery, I'm going right there. Because, you know, all you see in the front row, they look like old guys, and because you got they're millionaires.
They're rich. Loaded.
But they don't. Not only look like they're having fun. You and me, smoking big cigars, have a scotch. Yeah, that one. That one. That one.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sir, that's going to be your third Bugatti. So what?
Who cares? You know? Who cares?
Yeah, that's
these,
right, B.
When these guys, when you see them, like, right. You know, when the cars come out and they have the auctioneer going on, they look like they don't even care.
Hey, real quick, we got 30 seconds. I just got my license plate came in the mail on the new whip. Where do you feel? How do you stand on personal license plates?
I dig it. I dig it. It just has to be
pretentious
the right.
or silly or cool. All of the above. It's got to be the right one.
Did you get a personal license?
No. It just says Catalina.
Back
in the day when I had that Jag convertible that I won on eBay that I had to borrow $5,000 off of Hasselhoff to get.
Yeah.
I had MJB on the back, my initials. I'm just, is that, I don't know. Is it?
No, it's not.
Is it D-baggy?
I don't mind it.
Okay, man.
I don't mind it. It's got to be personal to you. Like, I think it's as long as it's cool with you.
Some guy said, hey, man. I go, yeah, then somebody the road, they don't like the show. Hey, man, that's Guy Talk. Brad Guzan he's putting some carbs in his body. His body's a temple. All you young footballers out there, you want to stay in shape. Look at Brad, Carl. His body's a temple.
All right, he's going to join us next, guys. We'll find out what he's thinking about this club, the newbies, the new manager, all that stuff. It's on the way. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at the Atlanta United Training Grounds, and our buddy Brad Guzan is going to sit down with us here. Listen. Last season, just ended, seems like, did we exceed expectations, right? We lost to Orlando City in the East semifinals, and we were on the cusp of getting there and potentially
shocked the world, though, beating Messi, man.
That was the one. That was the one. And then, you know, playing for another cup, potentially. And then the offseason starts and changes happen, and change is constant. We know that. And Brad is sitting down with us here. And Brad, it's good to see you. Good to have you back on the show. We're going to talk to our new manager, Ronnie Dyla, coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. But with all the change, and you've been here now, I mean, speaking of one constant, you've seen this. You've seen players come. Great players come. Great players go. We've seen a couple of different managers. So what is the experience now with this set of circumstances for where you're at in your career right now? Because if I went back to 18, right, it was different. And then, you know, fast forward to when DeBoer was here, it was different. What is it for you now, and what do you sense around the organization?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's different. And listen, anytime a new manager comes in, anytime new players come in, it's going to be different. I think you look at all of the change in terms of the staff, in terms of the manager, obviously the front office, some changes there. It's certainly going to have a much different feel to it. And as you said, change is part of professional sports. And so we need to find a way to, one, accept that change. But then, two, we've got to adapt to it and help the guys that have come in take on board what the manager's saying and the coaching staff and what they're saying. But then help the guys that come in and try and get them acclimated as quick as possible and say, okay, listen, we're here to win. This club is here to win. This is what it's about. It's not about – this isn't a you know, a rebuild process, and this is 3 years out. This is, we are wanting to win, and we want to win now.
Look, the odds were against Atlanta United to make the playoffs. You shocked the world there. You go down to Miami. We joked around that MLS had the great idea to do a 2 out of 3 for the first round, and you took out Messi and company, kind of upset the apple cart. Pardon the pun, but this is one that shows you guys can do that, and it's not like you have to reinvent the wheel, but for guys who don't follow, give us the basics. What does a Ronnie Dyla team look like? What's the style going to be for this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, we're into our second week now of preseason, and hearing him speak, seeing how he runs training, you know, the trainings have been extremely intense, very detail-oriented. You know, obviously, as players, we need to grasp his ideas of what, how he wants us to play, what he wants us to do, how he sees the game, right? And we need to try to pick that up, which I think we've been doing, getting guys back in the building, getting them to understand what training is going to be like, but more importantly, the principles that he wants to instill within the group.
Brad Guzan joining us here on Dukes and Bell Live at the Atlanta United Training Grounds. Guys, they got a friendly going on this weekend, as a matter of fact, against Chattanooga.
Make it unfriendly. Smack some people around.
Well,
what?
Never friendly. We're going to win.
You should. We got to figure out what's working. And to your point about, you know, hey, are we picking up on the things that he wants us to pick up on? Well, what did you think we need to be better at? The season ends, right? And I'm sure you go through this process. One, how do I feel? How's my body feel? But then you're like, man, we got to be better at this. So not pointing the finger specifically at anybody.
No.
What did you think that better at this was?
I think when you look at how we played and how games essentially developed, right, throughout the course of a 90-minute game, it was too transitional. It was too back and forth. It was too open. And when you don't have control of the game for most of the 90 minutes, because you're never going to have control over the entire 90 minutes, right? But when you don't have that control and it is transitional and it is open, you lose that, and then you give up chances. You give up goals. Maybe you take a chance here, you take a chance there, but ultimately it becomes too much of a bit of a tennis match. And I think something that we'll be looking forward to doing this year is instilling that not possession without an end product, but that control of the game. And even when we don't have the ball, being in a defensive shape and a defensive block with numbers behind the ball, being able to say, hey, you guys have the ball, but we're still in control and we're pushing you to where we want you to go.
That transition put a lot of pressure on you, did it?
Listen, whenever it's transitional, you're going to ask more of the goalkeeper. You're going to ask more of individuals in terms of the back line, right? You're asking a center back to maybe go out wide and defend a winger that maybe they're not the most comfortable being in that position on the field. And so being able to keep guys solid, compact, and together, I think will be a huge part moving forward.
It is Brad Guzan with us, guys. Again, all the appearances for the U.S. men's national team, and of course, champion goalkeeper for us back in 2018. And they brought the young Bucks in, Carl, to challenge him last year. Brad wasn't having it.
How did that go?
Like the old gunslinger. He just shot him. But again, that's part of the job, man. You know the competition's coming at you. One thing that's really exciting, I don't know how much you know it, because I don't think it's like the NFL, Carl. There's no tampering, right? You can't tamper with somebody in the English Premier League, or can you? The idea that if Miggy could come back, I just think that would be so exciting for so many fans. And also, it does address a need for the squad. Wouldn't that be something?
No, for sure. I think, listen, first and foremost, when you talk about adding players, you want to add quality. You want to add somebody that's going to bring something to the group, help the group. And then you mention, obviously, that name specifically. And I think that's somebody that ticks those boxes. And, right. And obviously, there's an appreciation factor for what he did before he went to England. And so that connection with the fan base is certainly there. But, you know, for us, the connection with the fans is certainly important.
Right.
But the most important thing is what he would bring to on the field, and whether it's him or someone else.
Right.
It's what they're going to bring to the field and how they're going to help the group. And if he's going to score goals, happy days.
And one thing, I mean, again, we're not getting specific names because you think there's rules. But there's also, I mean, if you don't need to have slots for two DPs, designated players. It is, how tough is it, just the nature of the MLS? Because you just got to integrate and hope they assimilate as quickly as possible.
For sure. And listen, when you talk about bringing in DPs, you're talking about looking all over the world, right?
Right.
Whether it's South America, whether it's Europe, Asia, you can go anywhere and everywhere. But then when you sign that player, you then got to get them a visa, and that takes time, and they've got to get situated with their family and relocating to a new country, a new city. So all of this stuff takes time, and that's when you're like, right, I need you to score goals. I need you to defend. I need you to do the business on the field.
Right.
And you know, as a club, they do a good job of trying to help these guys get situated off the field.
I want to take you back. And just, I'm curious, like, the feeling of beating Miami. And, like, the moment where it's over and you guys have done it. Right. You've had a lot of big dubs in your career. But, like, that one, it's got to be up there. And I'm just curious, have you heard from anybody on that club? Do you know cats on that club? Has anybody reached out and been like, nah, man, we ain't talking ever?
No. Well, Joseph was on that club, right?
True. Yeah. I've spoken to Joe, obviously. But, no, there was one or two. And bigger names, for sure, that reached out. But, listen, in that moment, it certainly feels good. And, obviously, after the whole getting pushed in the net debacle.
I thought
that's where you were going to go with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, what was said? What did you say to this dude?
But listen, I didn't say anything. I can set the record straight. great. I turned.
He's trying to get the rock.
Right. Next thing you know, I'm getting shoved into the net, and then I'm falling back and back and back and back and back. And the net's never getting tight again to spring me back the other way. And then
it's not a graceful thing to fall into.
No, of course. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, don't put your hands in it, because if you put your hands in, you're definitely going to be eating the net, and then it's game over. So I was like, all right, let me just – all right. And I just kept falling. I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. And then sure enough, social media lit me up. And but at the end of the day, like you said, we got the last laugh, and that was most important. And so, it was certainly a victory that felt good within the club, felt good within our group, especially as you mentioned. You know, I'm sure there were some higher-ups within the league that weren't too happy. So it felt good on all fronts.
Right. For those who remember, Luis Suarez, Messi, they're getting into it. And I think the meme I got a kick out of is like, Brad like stuck like wicked tuna, like in the net, because the practice was right there in the net.
For sure.
But you got the win. We spoke to Brad after that game, the week of the Orlando City match. So getting back to this year, man, there's still some additions that have to be made. And I think I've asked you this question every year now the last 3 years. How much longer do you want to do this?
Yeah. Listen, like I said last year, I'm taking it one day at a time.
Right.
You know, I feel good. I feel youthful out there, you know. You know, obviously the guys tell me I look youthful, so that's good. You know, but it's one of those where, like, I'm not looking too far down the road. I know at some point it's going to end, but at the same time, like, I feel good. And as long as I'm contributing to the group and bringing something to the group and helping these guys, then I feel like I'm ready to go and compete.
I know this is the ultimate apples to oranges, but bear with me on this, because we went with Kirk Cousins this year, who was coming off an Achilles. You had to come off an Achilles.
Yeah.
Was it a full 12 months until you felt 100%, or was it actually 18 months? Or was there a moment where you said, okay, I really have confidence on my body to do what I needed to do?
6 weeks is a unicorn.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. No, honestly, you know what? It was. I felt good after a couple months, and you know, of course, it's not that you don't feel good. Mm-hmm. It's doing things without even thinking about it, and just doing movements on the field, and you don't even think about it. And so there wasn't one moment where it was like, okay, enough time had passed. I don't even remember how much that time was. Enough time had passed where I was just like, I'm just here to compete. I'm here to play 5v5. I'm here to play small-sided, 11v11, whatever it is. I'm here to help the group, and I'm doing things that I'm used to doing for all my career, and I'm not thinking anything about an injury or anything like that.
Okay. You have a top-notch facility here, right? Let's talk about the rehab of that injury, because we always just casually talk about it, 8, 9, 10 months.
Yeah.
But it's hell, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there are days, I'm guessing, you went home and that thing was, it may have swollen up on you. It was sore. It was hurting. Maybe the next day you get out of bed and you're like, I can't, right? That's the part we don't see. And that's the part that gets guys down, and some guys just, they give up, right?
Yeah.
They say, I'm not going to do this.
For sure. And for me, that was, you know, obviously you talk about having a support system, right? And that was my wife and kids. And to be honest, that was a huge help for me, because it didn't allow for me to, one, feel sorry for myself, and two, inspired me to get back and do the work and grind. And I wasn't the best patient. You can ask our medical staff. And I went in there every day, and they told me I was only doing 10 reps. I'm like, no, we're doing 20 reps, you know? And it was just like, because I'm not letting this going to be the end of my story. And so I just continue to push. And, it's not always easy. You know, there were days, I'll tell you some stories off the air, but there were some rough days, you know, especially at home and whatnot. And, you just got to find a way, and you have to keep moving forward.
Before we cut you loose, it's Brad Guzan. We're live here at Atlanta United's training facility. We're going to talk to the new manager, Ronnie Dialis, coming up. Speaking of managers, all your experience with caps for the U.S. men's national team. I don't want to get too excited prematurely, but like Pochettino, now he's got some good things going. I kind of like, speaking of accountability, speaking of no more whining, no more nonsense, seems like the U.S. men's national team's in a good direction.
No, for sure, for sure. You look at their performances, especially under Pochettino, in terms of how he's given them the confidence to go and play, and obviously it's certainly a different style, but he's done a fantastic job of coming into that group and getting more out of them, right? And I think that's going to be important going down the road, especially as we all look forward to 26 and the World Cup, and obviously us being a host city, so it's going to be pretty special to be able to see what he's able to do with that group.
By the way, I was on StubHub yesterday. It's like cheapest tickets, like $2,000. You got any juice for that?
You talking about World Cup?
2 years is 18 months away.
I know. The
World
Cup. Talk to some people.
I mean, literally, it's 18 months away, and it's the cheapest. I mean, we're talking the nosebleeds, man.
Well, again, people from all over the world.
I know.
That's
true. I know.
And they're spending big loot to come.
We need to open a bar between now and then.
Oh, I like that.
Hey, real quick, you happy with your Bears moves?
What do you mean? Go Falcons.
There you go,
come on,
Brad.
Let's
there
go.
You go.
Let's go.
Rise up.
Come on now.
Good
let's
answer.
Go.
Shy town. Try right. to trip him up, Carl. He's well, no longer. He was joking. We were joking around, though, about how we handle the weather compared to how they do in the Midwest earlier.
It's a different animal, man.
It is.
I
it
mean,
is.
A quarter inch, we shut the city down for 3 days. All right? I mean, it's just what it is. Brad, man, we appreciate you. It's going to be fun to see what Ronnie and you know, Ronnie Dyla, new manager, and the new players can do. And I know you're excited about the opportunity. We are excited to see what this is going to look like. So, man, appreciate you as always, dude.
Definitely. Always a pleasure being with you guys.
Bunch of guys online, by the way. A lot of listeners and big United fans saying, good to hear Brad on. Good luck this year, man.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Are they talking smack or saying good things?
No.
No, it's all positivity.
I love that. Love that. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We're coming back. We are going to talk about what's going on. Speaking of Go Falcons.
He's big. He's bald. He's a
what is going on with our Falcons as we continue to talk about the moves that have been made and what we need to do moving forward. Also, we mentioned Ronnie Dyla is going to join us. He is the new manager, and he's going to do that at about 5:20. So stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.